Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa. I'm your host. And in today's episode, I'm speaking with medical weight loss doctor Alexandra Geyer from the Geyer Practice. Alexandra and I spoke about optimizing health with peptide therapy, a holistic approach to internal medicine, and how our minds, thoughts, and feelings affect disease and symptomology. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode with someone who might find it helpful. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coach. Just hit the contact link in the show notes. Now, onto my conversation with Alexandra. Dr. Alexandra Geyer, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
I'm excited to talk to you. I know all the things we're going to discuss are going to be very relevant nowadays and hot topics and so on. But yet, to start off with, what's the main thing you're excited for the listener to learn today?
I want to let people know that we are living in an age where health optimization is really possible, and we have these incredible tools at our disposal now where we don't have to accept living with crappy energy, poor sleep, subpar exercise recovery. And we now have access to a lot of tools that allows us to upgrade our bodies at a cellular level and live in the healthiest bodies we can have.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, I think that's a great message. Sometimes we are inclined to think like, oh, I'm just gonna be stuck with this and that niggly pain for the rest of my life, or this is just my normal sleep pattern. I've always been a crappy sleeper, those sort of things. So I think it's important for us to reiterate to ourselves that, yes, optimization and living a really a blissful life in all aspects is up to all of us if we just go and seek out the right treatments. And what I like about your approach really a lot is that it's so holistic. You're not just saying like medical weight loss drugs, that's the only thing, or peptides, that's the only thing. All these things we are going to talk about. But yeah, I love your holistic approach. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a conventional MD. I went to medical school. I trained in emergency medicine and I really liked, and I worked in emergency medicine for 10 years and I loved it. I loved being at ground zero of what was happening with people and just being ready to fix any situation. But what I saw was a lot of people coming back with chronic illnesses that were just getting worse and worse. And the only tools I had at my disposal would felt really like Band-Aid solutions, to treat the symptoms, make them feel better. But they were back a month later and things were always getting worse. And more and more people were coming to me saying, I just don't feel good. I don't feel right. And I encountered some of my own health problems. I went through a period of Lyme disease and I got better from that, but I just didn't feel my best. I didn't feel like I was like I did before that condition. And I became really interested in how do we create the state of health? I spent most of my medical education learning about disease and how to treat disease. And most of my medical education focuses on, the model is really drug equals disease. If there's a drug for it, we're going to learn about the disease. And the tools are really drugs, surgery. Those are the main things we have to offer people, which are amazing. And they have increased our lifespan by so much. And we are now able to cure things that were previously uncurable. But I just felt like there was this whole other aspect of living as a human where all this science was available. And I just wanted to dive into it and help people with it. To really feel their best. Medicine has gotten us this extra 30 years of life, and how are we going to feel during it? And I think, especially women, we know from studies that women certainly live longer, but our quality of life tends to be lower than men's. Especially in the last 30 years of life. And I don't think that has to be the case. And in my practice, I've gotten to watch people in their 70s, 80s, 90s. I have a woman who's 90 who goes on disco cruises 4 times a year and dances, and
That's the
watching
goal.
people, that is the goal. I want to be her. And watching people be so vibrant, so full of life in their seventh, eighth, ninth decades of life is really incredible. And I feel like that's the best gift we can give ourselves and others.
Oh, amazing. I love your pursuit, and I really think that's so valuable because often if we're not categorized as in like actually diseased or sick, things are brushed off by traditional medicine. And so I think it's absolutely wonderful to see that this whole medicine 2.0 of like prevention and optimization, longevity is becoming more and more popular and accessible really to the population. It's not just something that is exorbitantly expensive. So I think that's a really great pursuit. And one of the things that you're passionate about and talk about is peptide therapy, and I would like to dig into that a little bit because I do think while we hear a lot about it, I think people are still quite confused about what it is, how it works, what it's for. So maybe you can explain to us all these aspects.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would love to. So, peptides are short chains of amino acids that send signals in our bodies. So, most people are familiar with the concept of hormones. Hormones signal between endocrine glands, so like the thyroid or your ovaries, and they send signals to the rest of your body to support your bodily functions and carry out certain things. Peptides were just kind of learning more about in the last couple of decades, but they're also chemical messengers that send messages between different parts of your body. So, and part of the reason why peptides have sort of come on the scene and people are hearing that word is, of course, because of Ozempic and the weight loss drugs that have sort of caused a huge amount of buzz in the last several years. So, I want to preface this by saying that I think lifestyle is the foundation of health. So, how we're eating, how we're moving, how we're taking care of our bodies, the choices that we're making, how we're taking care of our minds, and those are really the most important choices. I think that we can use peptides and other therapies, supplements, medications to help tune in the body to respond better to those inputs. So, I tell people if you're sitting on the sofa eating McDonald's, watching TV all day, and you take some peptides, you're wasting your money, you know? And I don't expect people to be going out and running a marathon, but if we're going to explore these sort of therapies, I want to make sure that there's a foundation of commitment to health. And it's somewhat circular in the sense that I want you to be committed to healthy habits, but there's a lot of peptide therapies that will also make healthy habits easier. So we can start with weight because, of course, that is sort of the big thing that peptides have been popularized for. But I want to preface that by saying that peptides are available for body composition, of course, but also for inflammation and energy, for brain health, focus, anxiety, for mitochondrial health, for many other aspects of our health. So, although we think about weight with those specific peptides that are very popular, and I definitely want to talk about that, there is a whole host of other things that peptides can do to optimize the body that is less related to body composition. I do think that body composition and metabolic health is the foundation of our health. And the way we use food for fuel is really important for everything else. So I think that is a really great place to start. And we can talk a little more about that. But in our current food environment, in our current chemical climate, a lot of our bodies are really metabolically unhealthy, even for people who are trying to make good choices. And there's so many demands on our lives that it's often very hard to make all the choices you need to make to keep yourself metabolically healthy.
Yeah, again, I really applaud your holistic approach, and I think it's so important for highly qualified medical professionals that help with weight loss to always preface like we still need to address your lifestyle. I can give you this drug, but only if we're also starting to exercise, making better choices. And another thing that I do think is becoming more known, and thankfully, is that a healthy body composition doesn't just look good. I think we used to go around for a while, just thinking like, okay, no, I'm quite happy with my, I don't know, 30, 40 pounds, overweight. I look decent. I'm content like that. But no. This is not just about looks. It's also about exactly like you're saying, metabolic health in the sense of, okay, how are we actually optimizing ourselves and how our glucose response and all these things. So it is very nice to hear though that peptides can assist with many other things and not just appetite regulation or anything like that. So I'm interested kind of in the point of, well, first of all, pain, because I think many people, especially as we get into our 50s, perhaps and upwards, we might have some niggly pains, maybe from injuries in the past or just in general degenerative pain sort of thing. That for one. And then the other thing, also kind of often more seen in 50s and 60s, where people say, I'm struggling to put on muscle. I want to show more definition, or I'm losing even muscle, or something like that. First of all, can we assist that with peptides? And second of all, how would you go about that?
Yes, such a great question. So pain is a big issue, and many women and men also, we start having more aches and pains as we enter the fourth, fifth decade of life. And again, our bodies were sort of optimized to reproduce and die. So for most of human history, we've been around on Earth for about 300,000 years, and 299,000 of that we basically lived till 45. So our genes have had a really huge amount of time to just work optimally for those years. And now we're really in our prime, way past that time. So there's a lot of inflammation, which is basically an immune system that may be responding too strongly to things that it shouldn't be. So we have an immune system that should be seeking out harmful things like bacteria and tumors and viruses, but sometimes it can turn against us. And there can be tissue breakdown, joint breakdown, again, just from wear and tear. And a lot of people do deal with aches and pains, especially as we enter that 40s, 50s period, and we lose some hormonal protection. So, especially for women, our hormones protect us from joint breakdown and inflammation, and we lose some of that protection. And I do work with women to optimize their hormones too. And usually we do that first before going to peptides and see how much ground we can gain in that way. And for men, testosterone is really important for that as well. But there are a few anti-inflammatory peptides that have been really helpful for my patients and for myself for just muscular aches, pains, inflammation. One of them is called BPC-157. Very common peptide. It's one that a lot of people do hear about. It stands for Body Protective Compound. And it is naturally produced in our stomachs, and it prevents the acid in our stomachs from breaking down the lining of our stomachs and causing ulcers. So, initially, it was isolated and found to help heal ulcers and also help with GERD and other things in the GI tract. But now we know that if we can inject it right under the skin, it can get to any injured tissue, any tissue where there's inflammation, and send the right cells there to start healing. So it really balances the inflammatory cascade in our bodies. And I've seen people who've had joint pains that have completely not let them exercise for many, many years who suddenly feel like their old selves again after taking this. And so that has been fantastic for inflammation and pain and joint pains. It's also really good for recovery. And a lot of people feel like they don't recover as well, again, as we get a little older between workouts. And BPC just allows your body it gives it your body back more BPC, which we make when we're young, to just recover a little faster and get back to activity. And just like you said, being active and maintaining healthy muscle is the currency of health. It's the most important thing that you can do to create a state of health. So there's a lot of peptides that I use to keep people active. I think a conventional medicine, as people have gotten older, we've told them, be careful, don't do this. If you're gonna You have to watch out for injuries. Yes, of course. But at the same time, the most important thing I can do for you is keep you active. You know, I have somebody who's in their 80s who is actually on chemotherapy battling cancer, and he bikes 15 miles a day.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was having some hip pain, and we were really working on it because the biggest predictor of how he's going to get through this cancer diagnosis is really how active he's able to stay. So I think those peptides that keep people active can be really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. If once the pain starts affecting how we're moving, and then, like, as you said, it's a cascade, then we don't move as much, and then that affects our mental health, that affects how much we eat because our appetite starts being dysregulated, our metabolism is, quote unquote, slowing down, all these things. So, yeah, unfortunately, that's not pretty. And is if there are things that can keep us active for as long as possible, that's absolutely wonderful to hear. And on the front of building more muscle or maintaining muscle, did you say you would use the BPC 157 for that as well?
Partially, it can be part of the package there. So for building more muscle, so I do work with a lot of women who have had success with weight loss, but maybe they don't have enough muscle, and we do our in-body scans and look at muscle mass. And I try to be pretty aggressive with helping women put on muscle, men also, but it tends to be a bigger problem for women. So I do look at hormones first. And especially testosterone. So we don't always think about testosterone in women as much. It's a male hormone, but we also need a healthy level of testosterone in our bodies. And especially women who've had very high periods of stress, women who've either had career stress or family stress, personal stress, I often see not calculable levels of testosterone, just so low that of course you're not feeling well good after your workouts and you're not putting on muscle. So first I try to optimize testosterone and make sure that women are eating enough protein to actually support muscle building, which is really important. We can't build muscle without enough protein and without some testosterone to sort of support our bodies. And then I think the next layer, there are several growth hormone promoting peptides. So we also lose our growth hormone production. It's most important when we're growing tall, but we make growth hormone throughout our lives, and it can decline. And growth hormone is really important for muscle growth, but also for sleep. So there's a few growth hormone promoting peptides. One is called somorolin. That one's actually FDA approved. Some peptides are FDA approved, others are not. And there's another one called tesamorelin. Tesamorelin increases growth hormone levels, but will also burn belly fat. It's actually, so everybody loves that. It's FDA approved for what's called visceral adiposity. So basically, fat that's kind of stuck around your organs. Sometimes that can be hard fat to get to and can be pretty dangerous fat. So I usually do a short-term cycle of one of the growth hormone promoting peptides when we're ready to kind of make a push for muscle gain. And it's not something you stay on continuously. I do 4 months max, often shorter, but women maintain that muscle once we do that. And as long as we have everything else in place nutritionally, testosterone support, we can do a couple of cycles a year, and that can really, I mean, build significant muscle. I have one example. This was actually a male, but he did tesamorelin for 6 weeks, and he started around 200 pounds, and he gained 13 pounds of muscle in that.
Wow.
6 weeks. Yeah, so that was pretty, and
That's
he's an athletic
insane.
guy, so he was already a weightlifter, but and he was already healthy, but it just was this huge burst. And that will not happen to women.
Of
Don't be
course
afraid. Nobody, this is not a steroid. This is not magic. For women, it's more subtle, but women feel stronger and just a little bit more capable, and you get a little more out of your workouts.
Yeah, and what I also always want to point out when women say, like, oh, don't want to look too bulky, etc., like building muscle is just going to make you look shaped and toned, and you're going to feel like tighter is kind of the word that often comes to mind, or that I often hear from clients, just tighter. I do want, also want to underline that I think it's absolutely fabulous how much of a focus you put on protein intake, because again, like, what's all of this gonna help if we're not fixing our eating habits along the way and actually consuming more than, I don't know, 50, 60 grams of protein per day, particularly, with women with sometimes with their teeny tiny little portions of stuff, or then in the morning you might be in the habit of having a slice of toast or a banana, or even if you are having an egg or two, that is not enough protein to start off your day. So I think that's really, really great that you're really focusing on that as well. And just overall, you have such a wonderful, like, holistic approach when it comes to everything that you do. And you even say that our minds, our thoughts and feelings really affect how we obviously feel in our body, but like how our disease rate or symptomology of anything. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, I think conventional medicine has kind of siloed our body systems into all these different parts, all these different specialties, and in some ways we've lost the idea that it's really all connected. And our brain health, our mental health, our emotional health really highly impacts how everything else feels. And again, both influence each other. Our physical health influences our mental health. Our mental health influences our physical health. And there is a lot that we can do to make sure that we're taking care of our mental and emotional health. I think, a lot of people feel like they're kind of stuck with the brain chemistry that they got, but there are a lot of tools that we can use to intentionally help heal our minds, and that makes a huge impact on how our bodies feel and the kind of chemicals that we're producing in the brain. So that might mean, of course, focusing on getting a good night of sleep most nights, focusing on how we are letting stress impact our bodies. So stress is inevitable. We live in this world where we have a lot of responsibilities, and there's so much that's out of our control. We're exposed to news from all over the world. And again, our human bodies evolved to sort of only know about our village, our local village. And now it's just this overwhelm of information, most of it pretty bad. And even though human lives have become a lot easier and more comfortable, the barrage of inputs into our minds is actually really overwhelming and can cause a lot of mental health struggles, and how productive we expect ourselves to be. We've really, in a lot of ways, I think we've lost the art of rest, rest without a screen, rest without being productive. And that's really important. So I think just trying to focus on how we're taking care of ourselves and what our bodies need. Our bodies need sleep. Our bodies need ways to de-stress, which I think is different for different people. But some form of non-screen de-stressing, whether that's talking to a loved one or taking a walk out in nature or taking a bath, just focusing on doing some kind of activity that reduces the impact that stress has on your body, I think is really valuable and important. And getting sunlight, we're not meant to be indoors in air conditioning or heat all the time. We need sunlight. We need connection with nature, and all those things create a biochemical state in our brain and bodies that will lead to health. And I think it's really important to think about that. Are we taking the actions that are necessary to create a state of health in our lives?
Yeah, a few terminologies that stand out to me. So first of all, the phrase of non-screen rest. I think that's, I've not heard that put like this before. I mean, obviously, but sometimes people think, oh, I'm just gonna Netflix and, this is my rest, or I'm gonna sit there and scroll for a little bit. Like, whoever felt better after scrolling on Instagram, unless you look at a bunch of dog reels or whatever, like, you probably don't feel better afterwards. So I think that's a really important distinction. And yeah, the other thing that you said is creating rest. Like we often think like, oh, when I have the time or when it comes around, it's not gonna come around. Other people are going to fill your schedule up for you unless you purposely put boundaries in, put your time blocks in where you're actually, yeah, making time to go out for a walk or to meditate or whatever it might be. And you also said that this form of resting looks different for everybody, and I really think that's so important to hear. Sometimes people think, oh, I need to meditate, but it's not really working for me, or I need to do XYZ. But yeah, trying different things, sticking with it. Of course, it's going to feel uncomfortable at first because we're so used to being stimulated. So we do need to sit with that discomfort at first, or walk with that discomfort, whatever it might be. But yeah, I want to give you another sort of practical scenario. Let's say if a woman comes to you again, perhaps maybe in her, maybe she's going through the menopause transition, 40s, 50s, or something, and she's saying, Alexandra, I want to sleep well, but I keep waking up all the time. I want to rest well, but I feel anxious all the time. A, what are some just practical or lifestyle things she should really look out for? And B, what sort of peptides or other therapies would you tackle with her at the same time?
Wonderful question. And this is so many of us. This is so many women, where, yeah, exactly. It's just kind of what life looks like at this stage of life. So I think first looking at the foundations, and again, looking a little bit about how we're eating, and sometimes sugar crashes can very much look like anxiety. So making sure that we are staying away from foods that have high concentrations of sugar. And so I think sugar desserts are meant for celebrations and times when we want to celebrate life with food, and it's totally appropriate, but it shouldn't be a part of your everyday sort of coping through the afternoon slump, because that blood sugar ri rising really high and then crashing will feel like anxiety and dread and discomfort. So working on that, making sure again we're getting enough protein and enough fiber. A lot of us don't get enough fiber in our diet. That means vegetables, fruits, those things feed our gut microbiome, which directly affects how we feel, the neurotransmitters in our brain. So, and again, having some sort of movement in your life, whether that's taking walks or working out, strength training is so wonderful for women. So trying to build a foundation where good nutrition and some form of movement is a part of your life is really important. And then as we enter perimenopause, which can start as young as 35 for some women, and definitely into our 40s, and it's a slow transition. Most of us transition into menopause somewhere around 50, some in our late 40s, some in mid 50s even, but it varies. There's a hormonal roller coaster going on for at least 10 years beforehand. So I check women's hormones, and I check a whole number of things, which I won't go into right now, but the key hormones that I think are important are estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And since we're talking about anxiety and sleep, I think progesterone is a very important one to mention. Progesterone is our calming hormone. And a lot of the early trials on women's health, we really focused only on estrogen. And estrogen is important and does a lot of good things. And we thought progesterone was just important for protecting your uterus from cancer and counteracting estrogen. But we now know that progesterone is anti-inflammatory. It is broken down into byproducts that go to your brain that reduce anxiety and help sleep. And it is really a calming hormone that we need. And we often lose progesterone way before we lose estrogen. And for many women, I will start progesterone fairly early if they're having symptoms. I'm 43. I've been on progesterone for the past year and a half or two, and at low doses, I think it can be a great support for our bodies during this kind of wild period. So let's say we have all that in place and we're still struggling with sleep, anxiety. There are a number of peptides that I think can be really helpful. One is something called Peneleon, which basically optimizes how our pineal gland in our brain produces sleep hormones and regulates our circadian rhythm. So this is particularly helpful for women who've had a lot of stress and whose sleep architecture is just disturbed. And maybe it's a little better with progesterone and eating right and exercising, but you're not quite there. Pinelion is only used for 3 weeks, once or twice a year. And I've had a number of women who have had sleep problems their whole life, and all of a sudden they're getting deep, restful sleep, falling asleep, staying asleep the whole night after just a 3 week cycle of the Pinelion. So that's been like a huge game changer for us with sleep. The other thing with sleep, I briefly mentioned sunlight. And many people are already familiar with this. We need sunlight, especially if you can get morning sunlight in the first hour that you're awake, at least 10 to 15 minutes. That really regulates your circadian clock and can impact how you're sleeping later in the night. So Pinelion is a great one for sleep. There is also a peptide that is very helpful for anxiety that's called Selenc. And it is something that was developed in Russia for their cosmonauts and military who had to stay focused but calm in austere environments. And it basically does a few things. One very important thing that it does is it reduces neuroinflammation. So the studies that we have now on mental health and mental health challenges, a lot of them point to neuroinflammation. We've always looked at mental health in terms of neurotransmitters and what serotonin is doing and all these things. But now we know that there are these cells called microglia that become overactive in the brain that can lead to depression, anxiety, and just a lot of mental health struggles. So, short courses of Selenc can decrease neuroinflammation and will also improve our GABA functioning, which is our calming hormones, our calming neurotransmitters, as well as improving focus. It increases something called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is like fertilizer for neurons. So another beautiful sort of cellular regenerative therapy that can help balance what's going on in the brain, and help us feel calmer and have less and be more focused and also less at risk for dementia and other mental health struggles.
Wow, yeah, those sound like some really great additional tools, especially the Pinelion, or
Pinelion.
yeah. Oh yeah, I'm blown away because I mean I too from time to time go through my sleep struggles or have struggled with sleep quite a bit in the past, particularly when you go through your whole to-do list all the time and then yeah, 3 a.m. seems like the perfect time to plan out your outfit for the next day and like things that are really, really important, Lisa. Yes, 3 a.m., why not? Right? And so I don't know what my brain is thinking sometimes. So no, that sounds really wonderful. I have one a follow-up question in regards to the progesterone, and I honestly don't know when we're talking about hormonal birth control or yeah, basically the pill or the IUD as well. I know that obviously that contains progestin and not the natural progesterone. And so does that also have a similar or same calming quality as progesterone, or it doesn't? Because I know it is different in many aspects, but I don't know about that aspect.
Yeah, and that's a great question. And actually, that's a very important way that it's different. And the synthetic progestins tend to have the opposite effect. So women have less of a sense of well-being. Women can feel more anxious, and the progestins just don't, they do not mimic what bioidentical progesterone does.
Yeah,
So,
thank you. No, I thought that that
yeah.
might be the case because it does have a lot of, or it does miss out on a lot of the positive benefits of natural progesterone, but I just wanted to double check. And yeah, my last question for you, because of course I want to make sure I'm respecting your time, but I also know that you are passionate or work on skin rejuvenation. And is there also peptides for that in specific, or what other kind of treatments do you most commonly use?
Yeah, great question. So, and our skin is our biggest organ in our body, really important. And having healthy, glowing skin makes people just feel better about life. And of course, all the foundational things are still true. You know, the way you eat, the way you move, the way you sleep, the way you handle stress will determine how your skin looks. But on top of that, many of the peptides that we've already, some of the peptides we've already talked about does impact skin health. There is a stack of peptides. You can stack peptides together. That's called GLOW, and BPC is one of them. And the other one is something called TV500, which is just another regenerative peptide that can help also with joint and muscle pains, but also with skin health. And then there's a copper peptide called GHKCU, which increases elastin and collagen levels. So those are really cool just to kind of maintain our skin health. We do some regenerative aesthetic therapies too, like laser treatments, and we do the frequency microneedling, which I think is cool, because those treatments help get to the deeper layers of our skin and trigger some of the processes that keep our skin young and healthy without necessarily injecting something foreign in.
Right.
So,
So all those peptides would be injectables as well, or injected as well. And is it the treatment area, or let's just say, like, if we specifically wanted to work on skin in the facial area, would that have to be there, or is it similar to the BPC when it comes to
It's similar to
injuries?
the BPC. Yeah,
Okay.
you just most of the time we just do it in the skin and our stomachs. And I just want to say one quick thing about peptides and safety. So it's really important if you're injecting anything into your body to know where it's coming from and that you're working with a doctor that is familiar with your health, because peptides are largely unregulated. And there are a lot of sources of peptides on the internet that are not safe, that can give you serious infections, or that might have something called endotoxins in them that are highly inflammatory that can really harm your health. So I work with an FDA registered lab to get our peptides, and then we take another step where we have them sent to a separate independent lab and test for sterility, purity, and endotoxicity. And of course, with each, there are contraindications to peptides. So with each person, I'm understanding their medical history and then making recommendations based on those things. So I think that just a quick safety
Oh,
disclaimer
thank you
to
for
make sure that
that.
if
I
people
think that's
are
nowadays that's so important with the market unfortunately being so large, but unfortunately not always very pure. I guess that brings me to the question, do you solely work out of your clinic, or do you also have telemed patients that you talk to?
We do have telemedicine patients, so
Oh, very good. Yeah.
we can see patients throughout the country on telemedicine.
Amazing.
There are some limitations. There are some states where I cannot order labs or write conventional prescriptions, but with most people, we can work with peptides and work alongside their doctors to help interpret labs, make sense of symptoms, and make recommendations of where to go next. And certainly, we can prescribe symptoms throughout the country and Canada.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Alexandra. It's been such a
Thank
pleasure speaking with you. I will make sure
you.
to link all your handles and the handles to the Gaia practice in the show notes so people can not just check out your content, but hopefully potentially also work with you. And yeah, I just want to thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Alexandra. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow. And remember, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go. If you're looking for premium supplements, our partner, Fat Muscle Project, has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more. And feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.